You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Kevin O'Malley, to take a look at a pretty cracking card over the RSC at Navan. There's domestic races as well from Exeter and Uttoxeter. Hope you can join us for all of the action on Sunday afternoon with Jason Thornton, John Budden and Craig Forsyth in at the studio. But first things first, Kev, how are you today?
Not too bad at all. In the middle of a cracking afternoon of jumps action. We've just seen the Betfair Chase, Bristol Demai, a bloodless success for him. Some exciting stuff, and tomorrow some decent action at Navan.
Yeah, it really was a devastating performance by Bristol Demai. We'll get on to that in just a moment. We saw some wide margin victories in the main on Saturday. Pretty testing at both Ascot and Haydock, Kevin. Some horses, the horses who handled it, have bolted up generally throughout the day.
Yeah, they have. I mean, stamina's definitely the order of the day. I mean, I was quite taken at Ascot by a couple. Count Merrybell looks a pretty classy novice. Has been on the go for a little while now, but that was a really good performance there to beat a Perfect Harmony and Bob Mahler. You know, top notch when he won the Christie 1965, that Grade 2 chase. So far, top notch hasn't been quite up to Grade 1 level, has he? But when he puts it all together like that, he's quite a special horse in his own right. I mean, the way he travels and jumps is just tremendous. He's not a big imposing chaser by any stretch, but he has... Well, he's top notch. He lives up to his name when he's at his best, and that was a really, really good performance. And obviously, Defi Desoy...
Yes.
Was very disappointing, wasn't he? And, you know, I'm not really surprised anymore when I see Triumph Hurdle horses getting beaten first time out, because we've seen it happen so often. People just assume that the best juvenile is going to be amongst the best hurdlers next season, but it's so often not the case, because they are just juveniles. And then next time out, he's up against the likes of Little Rockefeller. You know, he's a proper grown-up hurdler.
Yeah.
There's no hiding places there. Lammy Surge as well. Proper solid experienced horses, and Defi Desoy just was very flat behind them, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was beaten a long way out, Defi Desoy, but hats off to Little Rockefeller, who landed that Ascot hurdle a little bit earlier on in the day, and Top Notch as well, who won over at Ascot. Let's get on to the big race on Saturday then, the Betfair Chase. The field cut up a little bit. It was a small but select field. Obviously, sizing John's defection earlier on in the week meant that we didn't get to see the reappearance of the Gold Cup hero. Bristol Demai sent off favourite and really put his rivals to the sword, Kev. It was a very impressive victory. Got in a little bit tight to a couple of the fences in the latter part of the race, but the race was in safe keeping at that point.
It was, yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit of a shame that they didn't bring Oversizing John, you know. I really do, because they're getting through the ground. It's not what you would call bottomless, is
yes.
it? They're not finishing in completely slow motion fashion at all by any stretch. You know, the likes of Limited Reserve, Clan des Oboes earlier on the card have all travelled well through the ground to win. So, you know, it's a bit of a shame that Sizing John didn't come over for it. But today was very much Bristol Demai's Cheltenham Gold Cup, wasn't it? You know, he's just outstanding. Stuart Machin called him the King of Haydock.
Yes.
And, you know, he's starting to live up to that a bit now, isn't he? After winning the Peter Marsh so impressively last year. Now he's a Betfair Chase winner. He's just a cracking grey horse. But, you know, they're going to shorten him for everything now.
Yeah.
And they're going to overrate him. And when he steps back into Grade 1 company or other tracks, particularly in the spring, his limitations will be exposed once again. But that was his day in the sun. Daryl Jacobs had an excellent day. He had a listed success earlier on in the card. A couple of nervy moments over the last four fences, but yeah, they were just never in any danger whatsoever. Q card, I mean, retire him, you know, I don't know. I mean, what does he owe the game, really? Nothing. He just looked like he didn't really enjoy his jumping. The one thing about Q Card is that he's an exuberant jumper who really enjoys his racing, and he just didn't look to enjoy that today.
Yeah.
And it was a bit sad to see. So hopefully they'll do the right thing. And I don't know. I know that the Tizards are game people, have got game owners. They're going to want to keep him on the go if they can. But certainly he's a lesser light than former years.
Yes. And the change of jockey seemingly bringing about no real improvements in the horse.
Why would it? You know, it's just about the horse, really, and the horse doesn't look like the horse he once was.
Yeah. Good that you mentioned there as well. This is the day in the sun for Bristol Domeggs. I thought when he won the Charlie Hall, he was a little bit unlucky in that after the race, people only wanted to talk about Q Card and Coneygree. No one really wanted to talk about Bristol Domeggs, but they'll be talking about him today, Kev.
Yeah, and it is his day, and he deserves it, you know. But the reason for that is that Cheltenham is the centre of everything, isn't
it?
You know, some people like it, some people hate it. I'm kind of indifferent to it, you know. If you're trying to ignore the fact that Cheltenham is the focal point of the season, then you're just living in dreamland. So, you know, I've backed Coneygree for the Gold Cup at 25
really?
To 1. Yeah, yeah, I think, you know, they're saying that he hasn't been the same since he won the Gold Cup. While that is the case, he's only ran twice, you know. So I think there could be another day in the sun for Coneygree, but we'll see. But yeah, Bristol Demai, tremendous success for him. The owner's horses, Simon Munier, all of them are just flying at the moment across many different trainers. Ben Pauling has got a couple of nice youngsters for him as well. And Bristol Demai, what, he's only seven?
Yeah, I think he might be six, actually.
Might be six.
I think he'll be seven come the turn of the year.
Let's get that right. Yeah, he's a six-year-old, so he'll be seven in a couple of weeks' time. And, you know, you could see him coming back here for another couple of seasons and farming the Betfair Chase, depending on what comes over for it. But you dare say that it won't be that easy every year.
No. And chances of him scooping the £1 million bonus, Slim?
Zero.
Zero. Fair enough.
Zero. I mean, look at the King George, Sam. Come on.
Yeah, I'm
Thistlecrack.
I'm just posing
Mike
the
Bite.
Question. I'm not saying I think he can do it.
I mean, you know, it's a big ask. Yeah. I don't even know if he'll take his chance in the King George. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Sizing John was perhaps the one horse, had he lined up here, where you'd think, maybe he could go and collect all three. But as you said, when he takes on some of the other real leading lights in this division.
You know, if there's any evidence that Cheltenham is the focus of everybody's attention, is Sizing John and Connections just completely ignoring the chance to win that £1 million bonus, with keeping in mind defending his Gold Cup crown being the number one thing in their mind.
Yes, yes. That's Bristol Demai then, who won at Haydock a little bit earlier on Saturday. Just before we move on to Sunday stuff, just want to quickly go back to Little Rockefeller. Talking of Cheltenham and future targets, does this horse go for the stayers hurdle again? Is he champion hurdle quality?
He's probably not either, really. You know, he's probably just a solid grade two horse. Loves Ascot, you know, likes to get his foot in as well. I'm not sure he's a spring horse, really, or a grade one horse, but he's a proper solid animal. And Neil King was really bullish about his chances today. And that was fully validated with the horse, who put in a game performance after disappointing first time out, you'd have to say. He was a bit flat first time out, but he improved considerably. And he'll keep making his presence felt in them sort of races, but he will keep finding two or three too good at top level.
Okay, on to Sunday's action then. We're going across the Irish Sea to take a look at a couple of races at Navan. It's a good card there on Sunday. We begin with the 105. This is a grade three novices hurdle. 2.5 miles the trip here. All eyes will be on the Giggenstown colours of Sam Crowe. Giggenstown actually running three in the race in total, but Sam Crowe very much the feature. Is going to be a short price. He's going to be odds on. Connections took this last year with Death Duty. This is a horse that Sam Crowe, that is, that Gordon Elliott has been very positive about in all his bulletins. The apple of his eye, and looked devastating on Hurdle's debut, Kev, but not for you here.
Oh, he is for me. I can't get away from the fact that he's a seriously exciting novice, but obviously it's one of the better races tomorrow. Now, you know, it's my natural inclination as a punter to try and get favourites beaten. It's just what I try to do. Sometimes out of devilment, sometimes because I want to make a profit, you know. Sam Crowe, no matter what way you look at it, he's going to be too short. You know, whether he wins by 20 lengths or not, he's going to be overbet just because of the hype and everything else around him. He looked really good at Punchestown. He looked really, really good. But, you know, this is another track that he's going left-handed this time. He's gone 2.4 miles at Navan, which is one of the stiffest tracks in the country. So, you know, you can add an extra half a furlong onto that. So he's... They say that he could be a Gold Cup horse in the future, but, you know, he's taken a big step up in trip here, and it's at the end of the day, it's unknown whether or not he's going to appreciate it, certainly at somewhere like Navan, where he's going to need to get every single inch of it. So that just led me to think that Jets might be a pretty interesting each-way bet here. He's going to be somewhere around between 13 to 2 and 8 to 1, I would say, something like that, Sam, on the day. I don't want to quote the odds before they come out, but that's just a good guesstimate, I would say. I mean, last time out, he did pretty much everything wrong when he won, but he still did win. He beat Monbeg Worldwide and Canardier there. They were both better fancied than him on the day. But he didn't settle at all. He was way too fresh early on. He jumped out to his left throughout the race there at Fairy House, suggesting that going left-handed would better suit him. So I think Navil should suit him really well. He's a strong staying type, and he does have a little bit of quality about him. And reading Jessica Harrington's stable tour about the horse, she seems to think a fair bit of him as well. So I think he's the only one, really, that Sam Crowe has to beat. I mean, you know, Turbojet is a solid enough animal, consistent in his own right, but you'd have to hope that Jets could improve a bit past him, I think. So, yeah, with that in mind, he'd be one of my two bets at Navan tomorrow, Jets each way.
Jets then in that 105 race for Kevin. We've gone to the big race of the day at Navan. This is the 235, the Troy Town Handicap Chase, race over 3 miles. It's a Grade B, just shy of €60,000 on offer to the winner at one of the big competitive races over in Ireland of the season, one of the big handicap chases they have there. And we mentioned Giggins Time running 3 in that previous race. Well, they're absolutely mob-handed here, as is Gordon Elliott.
They have 6 of the 22 runners, unless my maths and counting has gone completely to pot.
Are we running out of caps for them, Kev?
I know. Yeah, they're six-handed here. I think the best of the Giggingstown runners could well be Potter's Bridge under the very, very, very promising Lisa O'Neill. But he's high enough in the weights at the moment, and there's no real hiding places here. As for the rest of them, they're all capable of cropping up on any given day. And that's just the way it is with Giggingstown horses these days. I find it quite frustrating, actually, to try and get to grips with them all, if I'm honest. But yeah, I mean, the horse they all have to beat here is Acapella Bourgeois on his stable debut for Willie Mullins, having switched from Sandra Hughes' stable. After a very promising campaign last season, he's very highly regarded and expected to go very well from the front. But he won't have it only his own way up front. He's got 11 stone 10 on his back, so he's carrying top weight, but that's somewhat negated by the fact that his mark of 149 could be quite lenient. But at the same time, I think he's going to be around 11-4, 3-1 in quite a competitive handicap, you know. So I was looking further down the weight, something off a low weight that's unexposed and that could rise to the occasion. The one that I fell on was John Kiley's Don't Tell No One. John Kiley landed a really big gamble with Check Your Pockets at Dundalk on Friday night, so the yard should be in good spirits. This 9-year-old is completely unexposed. He's only had 9 races under rules to date. 4 of those were over fences, so we probably haven't seen the best of him. He last seen over 2 miles 2 in a novice chase at Galway a month ago, where he shaped as though the trip was just wholly inadequate for him. I do like horses that are dropping back in trip rather than stepping up, but in this case, he just looks like he's crying out for a trip. He jumps well, heavy ground won't be a problem to him, and he's got a nice low weight of 10 stone 5. Don't tell no one, and I think he'll go off at a fair price, a working man's price, if you will.
Okay, don't tell no one then, the selection in the Troy Town. Thanks for that, Kev. Just remind us, please, of your 2 selections on the card at Navan on Sunday.
Yes, in the 105, we're going to take on this Sam Crowe with Jets each way, and hopefully he can give him a little bit of a fright. And then in the feature race of the day, the 235 Troy Town Handicap Chase, I'm going to go with Don't Tell No One.
Thank you very much, Kevin O'Malley's thoughts on Sunday's racing. Then you can hear it all live from Navan, Uttoxeter and Exeter on William Hill's Racing Radio in the company of Jason Thornton, John Budden and Craig Forsyth. Hope you can join us for all of the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.